This is episode 53 of the Next Year Now podcast.
Hi, I'm Kelly Roach, business growth coach and best-selling author. If you've been struggling to launch and grow your business, then you need to start listening to the Next Year Now podcast with my friend, Tom Hefner.
When we're high achievers and we're capable, action is not the problem. Going and doing something typically is our default.
Welcome to the Next Year Now podcast with Tom Hefner. Tom believes that if you really want to thrive at work and in life, then every day purposeful habits and practices are vital. The Next Year Now podcast will not only help you identify and integrate these habits into your daily life, but also bring you key insights and lessons from some of the most successful people in their fields. And here is your host, Tom Hefner.
Hello and welcome to the podcast devoted to helping you thrive at work and in life. The topic of habits and practices is always front and center in our discussion, but we also explore how we use these habits and practices to improve our personal development, productivity, creativity, health and well-being, business and entrepreneurship. Today's guest, Christine McAllister, is one of the best business coaches I know. And more importantly, she's also one of the most resilient people, which is really important for business. And she brings those real life lessons to her coaching. In our conversation, I asked Christine about how an unspeakable tragedy in her life gave her the resilience to live a life of passion and purpose. Why it's so hard for aspiring entrepreneurs to take the big step and finally start their business. The most effective practices you can take now to stand out from the pack with your business. And the best habits she has cultivated through her years as an entrepreneur. Book recommendations to help us gain the courage and confidence to take that big leap in our life. And so much more. Christine McAllister is the founder of Life with Passion. That's a company that helps high-achieving, motivated entrepreneurs use their unique gifts to quit and stay out of this 9-to-5 rat race by building a business that they actually love. In her varied professional career, Christine has been a professor and a career counselor and founded companies in marketing, agriculture, and household products. Most important, though, she always knew that she wanted to be an entrepreneur, and she started her first business on the side of a job that was just sucking the life out of her every day. And when she quit her job, Christine replaced that income within the first month. After a few entrepreneurial ventures, when Christine experienced the very worst tragedy a parent can imagine, she realized that she needed to allow herself to do and be more. It was soon after that life-changing event when Christine started her fourth company by identifying her zone of genius and just smashing through the fear, the self-doubt that we all have, and the obstacles that had been holding her back from sharing her true gifts with the world. All these experiences helped Christine crack the code on business success, and she developed a simple 7-step formula to share with other high-achieving entrepreneurs, just like you. Those who work with Christine are also quitting their 9-to-5 jobs and building online businesses out of their passions. Christine, thank you for joining us today, and welcome to the show, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
Look, one of the things I really love about podcasts is the opportunity to hear stories. Stories are how we learn about the world, and more importantly, I think they help us to feel, which is, I don't know, it's probably one of the most human things we can do. Christine, talk if you would about your story. How did you get here, and why did you decide to start your business, Life with Passion?
My story and my journey is very winding. So
I think all of us have a winding story. It's all right.
Yes. Yeah. Very far from the clear one career kind of path that I think maybe sometimes when someone asks us, what do you want to do when you grow up? We think that things are going to wind up looking like. I wanted to be a veterinarian for most of my schooling life and found that my aptitudes were more toward English and the creatives than they were toward science and math. And so I took a really amazing aptitude test that I was really lucky my parents took me to do when I was in high school. And the woman looked at me after I had done this battery of tests and she said, look, I really can tell that you want to be a veterinarian and you can do it, because I was always great at school, but you're going to be frustrated that there are other people in school with you for those many, many years who are finding it easy, and you won't. You won't find organic chemistry easy.
Well, let's be frank. Nobody finds organic chemistry easy. At least that's what I told myself, you know, as I was going through it.
Yeah, exactly. So long story short, I wound up choosing to study video production, media production, became a documentarian, had a documentary that aired nationally on PBS and won some awards when I was in grad school, and then went on to become a professor. I was planning to enter the film industry, but my last semester, the dean at my alma mater undergrad, which was a very impressive program, called me and said, hey, would you come back and teach for us? And I thought, well, that wasn't ever in my plan. And I did. I decided to go back and start my life as a professor. So I became a professor of media communication. Then I became a career counselor, helping students find their dream careers, ironically, while not enjoying that job myself. And finally did the thing that I'd always known that I'd wanted to do and had been side hustling on since I became an employee anywhere. And that was to run my own business.
What was the name of the aptitude test? I was just curious.
Ability potentials.
Ability potentials. Okay. Because, yeah. Well, I have kids, so like I'm always looking for, you know, those types of things to help when they get to that point. I mean, my oldest is probably a few years away, but he's getting there close. So, okay.
Ability it's potential. Outstanding. I highly recommend it. My parents have sent people from all over the country to do this thing. It's a, you know, proprietary method. I believe the original woman who developed it is now retired, but it is still active and just, I can't recommend it highly enough.
Okay, cool. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, no, that's great. I'm happy to share that. So I ran my own digital marketing agency for 5 years full time. And then in 2015, I made a huge pivot and started Life with Passion after experiencing the unexpected full-term stillbirth of my first daughter. Ugh. And, you know, I had been satisfied enough in my marketing agency. I was always booked out by referrals. I was good at it. I knew there was something more for me, but I was like kind of content to be content, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Obviously, I got extremely uncomfortable as I grieved the loss of my daughter and asked a lot of questions about what I wanted my life to look like, what I wanted to create for her as a legacy. And so out of that exploration and reexamination of my life came the realization that I had always had this passion for helping other people be entrepreneurs, whether or not they actually wanted to be. I was trying to make them be one.
You will be an entrepreneur and you will love this.
Like my parents, my husband, you know, my friends, they're like, Christine, we love you, but no, this is not for us. So what I did is I redirected that energy and started helping people who actually did have that dream, because I had done it and I'd figured out a way to do it. I figured out a way to replace my income in the first month after I quit my job to run my side hustle. And so I started sharing that passion to work with other people all over the world. I wrote a book about it, and that pretty much brings us to today.
What's the name of your book?
It's called The Income Replacement Formula, 7 Simple Steps to Doing What You Love and Making 6 Figures from Anywhere.
All right. That's my kind of book.
All right.
We'll make sure we put the link to Amazon and to your webpage on that on the show notes.
Thanks.
Well, let me ask a question not related to your business, but and kind of going back to that traumatic moment for you. But like, what helped you to bounce back and kind of push back or push through that adversity with the death of your daughter? Because I've seen people go both ways, or I've seen people go 2 different ways on this, right? Like some people can kind of look inward and really start to think about, okay, what is it that I want to do? And I've seen some people just kind of like push it away and just keep marching forward without ever really addressing it or trying to overcome that. Like, what helped you in that journey?
Yeah, 100%. And I was very aware as I was going through that experience that I could either lock myself in a room and drink all day, you know, to deal with it, or I could choose to use sort of the knowledge that this is the worst thing that could ever happen to me. And I'm still breathing. So let's do this. Mm. And I think that resilience is brought about by a number of factors, including certainly there's some nature aspects of it, right? Like, is it in your DNA? Is it in your personality?
Yeah.
But I think also allowing yourself to be supported, which was something I was terrible at. I never wanted to ask for help. I felt guilty when people would help me before Maeve died. Like, people were offering to bring us meals, and I was like, why? I mean, I can cook. I'm not taking care of a baby.
Yeah.
And my family said, Christine, just let them do something. They know there's nothing they can do to make the situation better. Let them do this, you know? And I actually found that it helped because I didn't feel like cooking, right?
Yeah.
But my brain, my high achieving brain, taking care of myself brain, independent brain, whatever, told myself like, I got to do all this on my own. What I discovered, even in that simple example of allowing people to bring me meals, sort of opened up this whole new world of letting other people help me and continuing to help other people like I always had. But the strength that comes from being supported and even figuring out what it is that you need and allowing yourself to do or go get that, as opposed to this is what I think I should be doing. I think those two things really, really play into that piece of being able to look at this rubble that your life is, has become and compared to what you thought it was going to be and begin to kind of piece something back that's not like what it was, but that is maybe a beautiful mosaic out of all these, you know, pieces of what was once sort of cohesive and like made what one figure, if that makes sense.
No, definitely. And I think that's a really insightful point, that idea of giving yourself, letting other people help you, right? We talked before, and I told you that my dad had been shot when I was 16, and one of my, my best friend had died, and my grandfather had died, and then, being a 16-year-old boy and being, Mr. Invincible, like, that was the last thing that I wanted to do, was let other people help me or support me in some way, which is, a shame looking back on that experience because, unfortunately, at the time, I didn't have, I don't know, maybe it was because we were a military family, maybe it was because I was, a young boy, but I didn't seek out, nor was I given that opportunity for others to help me, or at least take advantage of that, that support. So I think that's just a really, really important point and a thing that makes people more resilient and really helps to push through those hard times is to take that support when it's given.
Yes.
Well, look, let me segue here, going back to your company, Life with Passion. I'm kind of curious, like, what and how do you work with aspiring entrepreneurs?
I think that the formula for success consists of two things, because I think, first of all, we all know we're completely inundated, right? Like, information overload. Mm-hmm. So we've got to have a simple strategy that works for us. We've got to have a clear plan that's based around our goals and what we want our life to look like, what kind of money we want to be making, how we want to work with people, where we want to work with people, all of those things. We've got to have a clear plan and the simple strategies to carry it out. Otherwise, we won't do it. We'll keep like endlessly scrolling Facebook or Google, trying to piece together all these articles or listening to audiobooks and, taking this person's advice and that person's advice. And then, like,
it's really hard because there's so much stuff out there. I mean, anytime you go on to, I'd see it all the time in the podcast industry because there's always somebody kind of, and I don't say this in a bad way, but people are always kind of selling their service or their shtick. But like, there's so much stuff out there that it could be, there's the, what I call the paradox of choice, right? Like, where you get paralyzed by analysis by, or paralysis by analysis. Yes.
Totally. And I think, honestly, that's the way that a lot of us spend a lot of our days, especially when we're thinking about starting a business. I mean, we might have known we wanted to do it for years and years, but we keep ourselves stuck because it just feels overwhelming. We don't know where to start. So that's one of my strengths, is making it like uber, uber simple. Like, you can do this in 5 minutes today and then you can call it a day because you've probably been thinking about doing something for months and you haven't, or you've started and stopped. And so the most important thing to do today is to start being consistent, and you can do that in 5 minutes a day. So that simple strategy to start laying a solid foundation for what's eventually going to become a long-term sustainable business. And then the second piece is to begin to learn to think like an entrepreneur.
What does that mean?
So I believe that our school system and our education system, and I feel like I can speak to this because I was inside it as a professor and, of course, as a student, I believe our current education system teaches us to be really good employees. And so does society, frankly, you know, because that's what's normal, mm-hmm. right? That's what we grew up seeing as normal. That's what we grew up hearing is safe and practical, right? My husband works for a huge company, and every so often they go through a big round of layoffs that have very little to do with anyone's particular performance. We were literally just having this conversation yesterday because I believe that the way to create your own job security is to be your own boss and have a bunch of clients and spread your risk out among all of them rather than having, you know, a boss who's so far removed from you or people in a board of directors room making decisions about you based on what the shareholders want.
Yeah.
So that may be a total soapbox. In fact, it is. But
well, listen, I love that soapbox. I agree with you.
Awesome. So when we can see that, when we can see that we really are trained and taught to become employees, then becoming an entrepreneur feels really scary. And it activates our fight or flight response as if we're being chased by a lion 10,000 years ago. It feels like we might die, you know? And so that paralyzes us because, hello, how do you take action when you feel like moving towards something could actually kill you, you know? It's just like your amygdala is,
what are you doing? What are you doing?
Right.
Well, it's not, I mean, and you have your family and everybody else around you. Like nobody, most people are probably not entrepreneurs. If you look in your life, right? Exactly. Like if I look at my family members, if I look at my friends, if I look at my et cetera, most people are not entrepreneurs. And so if you're going to do something that is outside of their norm or outside of their behavior, like already you're doing something different, and different is bad usually. And so people will tell you all the reasons why you shouldn't do it.
100%. And of course we want the people in our lives to validate us and encourage us because we care about their opinions. But frankly, Darren Hardy said this in his book, The Compound Effect, only take advice from somebody you'd trade places with. Like,
wow.
If your spouse is, and this could be applied to any area of life, right? Mm-hmm. But if your spouse is in a 9-to-5 that they hate, or your parents are, or your siblings are, or whatever, why the heck would you ask them what they think about your business idea? They're not running a successful business. They have no clue what they're talking about. So their response is going to be pretty much about them, right?
Yeah.
And their perspective. And I mean, again, it goes back to like, we as humans are wired for connection, and literally to stay in the tribe back in the day was what was safe. And that's still true in our DNA, right? We want to, if we stick out, then we might be isolated. We might lose our connections. And so I think that keeps so many people at a very like unconscious level from doing this thing that on a conscious level, they say they really want to. And so learning to think like an entrepreneur, it has to be a part of the puzzle. Otherwise, the simple plan won't get carried out consistently.
Well, look, thinking back on your experience as a business coach over these last several years, what have been the most effective strategies to help clients overcome this fear of starting? Like, how have you helped them to think like an entrepreneur?
Well, I think the first thing is recognizing that it's fear that's holding 99.9% of people back, right? Fear and self-doubt, especially among the people I work with who are high achievers. Because when we're high achievers and we're capable, action is not the problem. Going and doing something typically is our default, right? We're the ones who have a hard time sitting still, when we relax, we feel guilty. We need to read the books on why play is important so that we will add play into our lives. Like, I'm raising my hand because I have one in
hashtag
my queue
guilty
right now. So, or just like, I'll just work harder. I'll just work longer. I'll just work more hours, right? That'll fix things. Because again, that's how we're trained and conditioned. And I know that for me, you know, I grew up getting a lot of positive attention when I achieved, right?
Yeah, so
that
me too.
My default, right? So I think it starts with getting aware of what's really going on. Because we think that what we need is solely that clear plan. If someone would just give me the plan and the steps to take, I would just go do it already. Well, chances are you've already read a bunch of books about it or listened to a bunch of books or podcasts about it. And yet, wherever you are right now is the result of like what you're believing about what's possible, right? And so the way that I work with my clients is really through helping them examine these stories, get aware of these stories, and start to behave as if something different is true, as if what they want to believe is true, so that we're moving toward that vision that we have for ourselves. And that might sound kind of like out there and ethereal, but ultimately, when you put it into practice, I mean, it's like any new habit. It's developing the habit of thinking like an entrepreneur and making decisions like an entrepreneur and acting like an entrepreneur, as opposed, you know, if we're making decisions for our well-being, I'm thinking and acting like somebody who eats healthy, as opposed to somebody who eats McDonald's for every meal, you know? And therefore, I'm going to experience the results of that. So I'm personally on day 10 of a vegan cleanse, which I have never done. And I thought I could never do because this girl loves some meat. I realized it was scaring me, and it's part of a, you know, doctor supervised thing. Like, it's all good. I'm not just out there doing something crazy on my own, but it was scaring me. So I needed to do it. And I think that recognizing that I can do this thing, there are so many parallels to entrepreneurship. It's no different. It's just learning a new skill set, both of thought and of action.
As a solopreneur who runs, I think, a good podcast, I'd like to think, and who sells innovation consulting services, I operate mainly online. Even though I work in technology or in the tech world, I'm not an expert in online business or online marketing. But what I do know is it's insanely competitive. Like, there are so many other people just like me. I've met them at conferences. I just was at Podcast Movement 2018. So I saw a bunch of people there doing similar stuff. I see their sponsored ads show up on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram. And I think at times that can, it can make us feel hopeless. Like, how are we ever going to stand out? So if you're nodding along as I say this, then I want you to pay close attention to my next question for Christine, because this question will really help you move the needle for you and your business. Christine, what have you found to be the most effective practices to help us stand out from the pack when we do business online?
It's a great question, because I think everybody has felt that way, myself included. But it starts with really, this is going to be a counterintuitive answer. It starts with looking inward and owning your expertise and your niche, because those two things render competition irrelevant. So when we're getting started in business, or we're looking to replace our incomes or quit our jobs, the first thing that we all do is go and look, oh, this person has a million followers. Oh my gosh, they already have the perfect program. Their branding's so good. Oh, why didn't I think of that? They charge so much, or they charge so little because they sell a million of these things, whatever, right? That winds up with like eating chips and cheese and binge watching Netflix on the couch. Like, that is the outcome of that.
I'm going to watch Dark. I'm going to go watch Dark on Netflix. Screw this.
Exactly, right? Like,
it's a really creepy show, by the way.
Okay, I haven't seen it. Probably won't if it's creepy. But I think like we do that to ourselves for whatever reason. It's like the way that we default. But when we start with asking the question, like, whether you want to call it your superpower or asking yourself, like, who and what do you really take a stand for? What do you really want to change out there? And who do you want to help make that change? When you know your niche, it gives focus and clarity to everything else that you're going to do, what you're going to offer, where you're going to offer it, how you're going to price it, how you're going to sell it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So because the online industry is still completely in its infancy. I mean, we remember a time before the internet.
Like, ask Jeeves.
Exactly. That was a thing when I was in college, you know? We were still learning about all the different search engines that were emerging at that time. So in a way, I think it's much more helpful to look at us, look at this industry, like we are still very much pioneers. Very much. There is still so much space. And this is the best time ever to be in business because there is so much space, because we can reach so many people. And guess what? If you show up consistently over a period of time, you are going to gain that momentum. And so I think in terms of like hard strategies out of all of this, number one, figure out what you're good at. It can be really helpful to have a great coach or mentor for that to help reflect those things to you, because that can take you, you know, a day instead of a year. Figure out who you're going to help and narrow that niche as much as possible. Chances are it's somebody who's a step or two behind you. And then start offering it. You know, that's where a lot of people get stuck, is putting themselves out there, right? It feels scary. It doesn't have to feel like, you don't have to do sales in a high pressure, like car salesman type of way. No offense to any car salesman listening, but you know the ones I'm talking about. And
I mean, we could go ahead and say a little bit of offense. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, exactly. But start doing that for literally 5 minutes a day. Everybody has 5 minutes a day. If you don't, then you are not going to be able to.
Yeah, then you have a different problem altogether.
Yeah, exactly. But you could do it on your lunch break. You know, you could do it whenever. Everybody knows their day and everybody's, you know, looking to become more and more productive. So doesn't matter how busy your life is. If you get visible once a day, even if it's to your personal Facebook network or LinkedIn, start offering it, start getting known as that person. And then you will become more top of mind the more that you talk about it. And you will get feedback that tells you how to further hone your message with clarity and to get in front of the right people.
The riches are in the niches. That's what somebody once told me.
100%. It's so, so true. And we all resist niching down in the beginning, but that's a hack that is going to move you forward way faster than just about anything else.
Okay, cool. Well, look, I want to pivot it here a little bit. Christine, as someone with a long track record of success as a businesswoman, an entrepreneur, and coach, I want to pick your brain here. Jeff Woods, he's the host of the One Thing podcast, was on the show a while back, and he said that, and I'm paraphrasing here, people don't choose their success. They choose their habits, and their habits are what lead to their success. If you reflect on your success, what have been, I don't know, the most effective habits you've learned and cultivated over the years?
Well, as we already discussed, I love taking action. So that's never a problem for me. Showing up for and doing something in my business every day is number one, I would say. It doesn't matter. And of course, I do take days off. And now that I've been doing this a while and I have a team and I have, you know, more of a strategic plan than when I was getting started, I can take more time off, right? But when you're getting started, showing up every day to start building your tribe or your community, a group of people who really resonate with what you're saying and like hanging around you online, that's key, because those people are going to become your customers or your clients, and then your repeat customers or your repeat clients and your biggest fans. And so are you visible every single day? Like, that has been absolutely key for me. It's looked like a lot of different things over the years. So there's no one right strategy. Like, you should really get on Instagram because it's so hot right now. Like, everybody's different, right? You might hate Instagram, or your people might not be there. So one of the great things about running a business online is that you can do it exactly the way that you want. And so I think that figuring out for me what I wanted my business to look like has allowed me to align myself with that vision. So for instance, I have a 2-year-old right now. My life and my business look really different than when she was 3 months old or before I had kids, obviously. And also, I love to travel. So what does that mean for how I work with my clients? Also, I'm an introvert. So what does that mean for how I work with my clients and how I show up, right? Knowing, constantly like checking in with myself and going, is this, am I enjoying this? Is this fun? Number one, because it would be incongruent if I didn't, because the name of my business is Life with Passion. But number two, because what's the freaking point if you're not doing something you enjoy? Yep. You might as well go get a job and make money for someone else if you're not enjoying your business. So you got to make sure that you're building it in a way that you enjoy and that you give yourself permission that it is possible to do that, because there are literally a million different ways to run a successful business. So I'd say daily, like checking in with myself going, okay, am I enjoying this? If I am not enjoying it and it's something I need to do in my business, how can I make it more fun? How can I make it more enjoyable? That's what's going to keep me energized to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, honestly, journaling has been huge for me because that helps me process and figure out what I'm feeling, what I want, and get my great ideas, get my head on straight for the day. And that might sound like I would have told you, you know, 10 years ago, I don't have time for that. I don't have time for journaling and meditation, gratitude, all those things, whatever. But sometimes those very simplest things, the things that we resist for so long, are the things that have the most power to help us be successful. And so I would say that habit has been huge in leading to my success and helping me stay focused. First of all, I was building business on the side of my job. And then as I've grown it and scaled it.
Speaking of checking in with ourselves each day, what if somebody wanted to check in with you specifically if they wanted to work with you? Like, how would we do that?
Definitely check out the book, The Income Replacement Formula. There's an audio version that I recorded and I am my zany wild self on that. So if you like audiobooks, you would probably be entertained by that. It's a great place to start and learn the methodology. And also you can come to my website, Life with Passion, where I have free stuff for you. You can get a free chapter of the book there at lifewithpassion.com/free chapter. Join my free Facebook community as well.
Awesome. Christine, before I move on, what else would you like us to know? I know that's kind of a big question, given that, you know, we probably spend hours doing that. But what else is important for us to know before we move on to the last part of the show?
I think the biggest thing is just how possible it is, and also how quickly things can move when you start telling yourself it's possible rather than asking if it is. And so if you can come from a place of deciding that this is what you want to do and you're going to find a way to do it, then I think that there's this kind of cheesy saying that says, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And I think that you can start looking for teachers, whether it's books or actual people or, you know, mentors or colleagues or whatever. Those people will start popping up in your life once you start looking for them. And your job then is to take action and go, I'm going to connect with that person. I'm going to read that book. I'm going to reach out to somebody who has what I want and learn how they got it. Because that's the quickest way to shorten your timeline and to do this thing with, you know, a timeline that is much, much more compressed than you probably even can imagine right now.
Do you advocate or do you coach people to use, I don't know, I don't want to say positive daily affirmations, but almost, you know, and this comes out of kind of the neuro-linguistic programming school of coaching. Yeah, like if you sooner, you know, fake it till you make it, if you keep saying it over and over, eventually it becomes true, right? Or is that something not on your radar?
I think it depends on the person's value system because, you know, if I just say, well, here's what's worked for me, so you should do it, like that doesn't make me a good coach. And there are a lot of coaches out there doing that. But I believe that, you know, my job is to figure out what you value and what you believe and help you with the tools of which there are a million, you know, affirmations are one that are going to be most supportive for you. So like if you're saying something, an affirmation, let's say, and it makes you feel really good and it energizes you and inspires you, great. That could be a great tool for you. If you say something and you're like, this is stupid, it's never going to work, it just makes me angry because I feel like I'm lying. Well, then maybe that's not the right tool for you. And let's pick from one of the 999,000 other ones.
Fair enough. Well, look, it's time for my favorite part of the show. This is where we talk about one of the very best habits that we can adopt today. And that's the habit of reading. Christine, I want you to think about the books you've really enjoyed over the years or books that have moved you deeply. What are the two or three books that stand out for you?
So I would say at the top of my list is The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks.
Mm.
And that's a fantastic book from this PhD researcher who has worked with people across industries and from all walks of life to help them kind of maximize their success. And he walks through a fantastic framework for sort of what holds people back and how to move through it. And so it's one that I revisit a lot. Usually on audiobook because it's the easiest for me, but I highly, highly recommend The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks.
Awesome.
Another two that I love and revisit a lot are Jen Sincero's books, You're a Badass and You're a Badass at Making Money. They're funny and they're very insightful. She's a great writer. You know, there are reasons that they're New York Times bestsellers.
Yeah.
And it sort of brings like this whole idea of self-help and self-actualization, just kind of like very concrete and down to earth and also entertaining as opposed to, you know, sit down and rock yourself and cry in the corner until you're, you know, whatever, until you're better. So I highly recommend her books too.
Awesome. I'm gonna check those out because I'm always on the search for better books of that genre.
yeah, totally.
Final question. What are you working on now or what's coming up that you're really excited about?
I am really excited about a group program that I have going on, getting ready to launch, called the Income Replacement Formula Live, which is a way for me to make this work and working with me and creating a real community around this a lot more accessible, and really starting this a cohort for this movement so that people can meet each other, they can support each other, and also, of course, implement these steps with my help.
Well, I will look for that, and we'll include that on the show notes.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Christine, thank you so much for this. Has been a really fascinating conversation. I'm taking away a lot of really concrete things that I can use and implement in my own life and business. So I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. It's been a great pleasure to be here.
You can connect with Christine McAllister online through her website, lifewithpassion.com, and on Twitter with her Twitter handle, @LifeWPassion. All the links and resources Christine and I discussed, including a link to her aptitude test that changed her career path, her book, The Income Replacement Formula, and the free chapter from her book, all of that can be found at the page created just for this episode. You'll find it all at nextyearnowpodcast.com/53. And finally, just a reminder, if you like the show and enjoy learning from our guests each week, please consider giving us a rating and review on iTunes. It really helps us stay relevant and findable by listeners like you. That's it for today. I'll see you next time.